question, how can we know? How can we know the way? I want you to listen to a short video and be considering this question as you watch it. How can we know the way?
A man fell in a hole. He fell in a hole and he couldn't get out. A traveler passed by. He told the man to meditate, to purify his mind, and when he reached nirvana, all suffering would cease. The man did as he was told, but he remained in the hole. Another man appeared. He explained that the hole didn't exist, and neither, in fact, did the man. It was all an illusion. The man who did not exist was still stuck in the hole that was not there. Another visitor arrived. He instructed the man to perform good deeds to improve his karma, and though he would still die in the hole, he might be reincarnated as something magnificent. Another man looked down from above. He taught the man to pray 5 times a day facing east and to follow 5 important tenets. If he was faithful, one day, perhaps, the divine would set him free. The man prayed as best he could, but he was losing strength, and in the hole he remained. Another man appeared. There was something different about him. He called down to the man in the hole and asked him if he wanted to be free. This man lowered himself into the earth, into the pit. He took hold of the man and dragged him into the light. And the man in the hole, who could not get himself out, was saved.
Aren't you so thankful? Thankful that God, in who He is, knew there was no way that in our sinfulness and our humanness that we could find God. And so he sent Christ, who lowered himself to be among us, to die for us, and I rejoice in that. Let's read our scripture for today. If you will stand with me, and we're going to be reading from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. John 14, 6 and 7. Jesus answered, and he's answering Thomas that asked, how do we know the way? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Being lost is a frightful and unsettling experience, and probably all of you at some time or another have been lost in your life, where you particularly are going to a place you've never been before, surroundings that are not familiar to you. We only have this one and only life to live. So as we negotiate life through this life, for it to be successful in eternal, of eternal good, is probably the most important involvement that we can have. And asking the question then makes it all the more significant, where is this way? What is this way? How can we follow the way? You know, when I first arrived in Lesotho, Africa, I was assigned for 2 months to learn the language of Sesotho. That was a joke right there. But for 2 months, I had all that time. And so the director of the mission had worked it out where I had a little efficiency apartment in Johannesburg, the Republic of South Africa. And it was a part of behind a home of a Portuguese family. It had a big iron gate for coming in. It had a thick concrete wall all around it with glass sticking up from the concrete, and then rolls of barbed wire on top of that. And it was in a city, Johannesburg, at that point of approximately at least 10 million people. Now, I grew up in Nashville. We consider that a fairly good-sized town, but that's nothing to Johannesburg. And, of course, there are many languages. As far as most of the white population, they speak either English or Afrikaans, which is a modified Dutch language, I guess you could say. They were from Holland. And then you have all the African languages, particularly Sesotho and Zulu were the main two, and I was trying to learn Sesotho. What I'm really getting to, though, is in the midst of this huge town, city, I was to go all the way downtown each day by myself to the Carlton Center, coming from the suburb, where I was to do language study 3 times a week. So one thing that made that a little bit more complicated, the majority of our intersections here are like north and south and east and west. I mean, at least Oklahoma, it's that way. But not only did they have roads those directions, they had diagonal roads at some of the biggest intersections. And not only one diagonal, but another diagonal. So you've got this like spokes from a wheel. I don't know who designed that. But it was so confusing. It threw my directional sense off, which I feel like I sort of have. And it was so confusing. Plus, of course, you're sitting or driving on the right, you know, the opposite side of the road, and the wheels on the opposite side, which those two things are good to have together, but they're just both the wrong side. And I had just arrived, so like all of a sudden, I remember the director doing this for me. He had a map, that was for before GPS. I know that's hard to believe. But we had a map, and he said, okay, I have mapped out this one most simplest route from the suburbs to downtown Johannesburg, and we'll drive it a few days before I have to leave so you feel comfortable with it. I knew this. I dared not get off that one route, or I would have been lost. So I memorized it, and I took it, the simplest route that was possible. Now, hang on to that thought. There is a book by Erwin McManus entitled Seize the Divine Moment. Now, just the title of that should help you or make you want to read that book, Seize the Divine Moment. In it, he tells about Aden, the perils of Aden. Aden is a new convert, and he is called to serve the Lord. And he has a mentor who is Maven. He is a seasoned mentor, and he could almost be termed as a rabbi if it had been back in the New Testament, a teacher along his journey. And it sort of parallels the scripture we read in John 14 of some of the questions that Aden asked of Maven. He first says, when he's getting ready to start this journey, he says, I'm afraid. Aden confessed, as Maven stood with him in the place where the quest would begin. And that's exactly the same way I felt. Well, I'm afraid. I wasn't thinking about needing to do this, and I'm just not sure about the way. Afraid of what? Maven asked in his calming voice. I'm afraid of the journey. I mean, you know, have I learned all I need to know? Aden queried. Aden, he replied, you know all you need to know. Well, what shall I take with me? Aden continued. Listen to his response. Leave all you have, but take all you are. Well, we think things are so important, don't we? Leave all you have, but take all you are, who we are in Christ. Aiden persisted, and the path, is it safe to travel? Maven looked at him sternly for the first time he could remember and scolded him. It is not safe to remain. And don't we think that sometimes? You know, whatever I'm familiar with, it's okay, it's safe. It is not safe, actually, to remain. It is not the place, but the presence who will hold you. And, of course, the presence is with a capital P. This is your only certainty. So go. Walk where no man has walked, yet you find footprints. It is not the place. It is not the circumstances. It's not the personality, the charisma, what you can impress people with. It is not the status of any sort. It is not wealth or tangible supports or education or even familiarities. It is not the place. It is the presence that upholds you. When we are in Christ, when He is our path, our way, then we have a security that nothing else can give. You know, we know where we're going even when we don't know where we're going. And that doesn't seem to make sense, but it does. We know where we're going even when we don't know where we're going, because we know who is in us, and He is the way, the truth, and the life, and we are in Him. And what can touch Him? Nothing can touch our salvation. Nothing can jeopardize who we are in Christ when He is in us. We have Him. And because we have Him, He does go before us to make the crooked places straight, as Isaiah says, and the rough places smooth. How many in this world, and I think we forget this sometimes, especially us who have maybe been in the church all of our lives, how many in this world would love to know God and really don't think that's possible? Have never really experienced what it is to know the Creator of the ends of the earth, who fainteth not, neither is weary, not to know that strength and that presence that far goes beyond any place we can be in life. Just to remember today what a miraculous gift we have, that when we find Christ, we have known God. It reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 that says, "But of God are you in Christ Jesus, God who is made unto you," and then it gives a list. Sometimes we seek wisdom. We seek this. We seek that. This helps us see we seek Him, and in Him we get whatever we need. I mean, because He is whatever we need. So Christ, who is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. All that we have need of is in Him. And without Him, it's our mess. But with Him, it's His masterpiece. You know, let's say if I came to the end of these 2 months in Johannesburg, and I was almost finished with my Sesotho language study, and they send another missionary over by herself, and she arrives, and she's going to stay in the same efficiency apartment as I go back to Lesotho, but there's still a few days, and I say to her, "Oh, here's the same map I use. Take it, and I just hope you find your way and maneuver fine through the city, and I'll be praying for you." Do we sometimes do this? Listen, if you just read your Bible, here it is. Find the way, and I'll be praying for you. It would be rather thoughtless of me if I were to say that to her when I have had so much help and someone actually went with me to find the way. So would I not then find it a joy to say, "You know what? I'll go with you. I will show you the way. Somebody helped me, and it's not easy, so I'm going to help you. Because I want you to know there's some intimidating intersections out there. And you got to remember, you're going to be on the other side of the road and the other side in your car. And You know, if you do stop for directions because you get lost, someone may not even know English, so that's a problem. And certain places you stop may not be safe, so you might lose more than your direction. You know, this was before apartheid was dismantled, so of course there were a lot of conflict between the races, and so it really wasn't safe in a lot of parts of town. But I would say to her, I want to make sure you make it, so I'm going to go with you until you got this. It reminds me of that song. I don't even know the rest of the words, so if it's bad, don't remember the rest of them. But the song that says, I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. There is a reality that comes with being shown that does not come with being told. Told is a cognitive thing. Being shown is a connectional thing. There's also another verse, Hebrews 13, 2 and 3. This is our theme verse for the jail ministry. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. And do you know the word, and it took me a long time to realize this, that the word hospitality means, is a root word, hospital? Where have I been? Hospital. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. That there is a real place then of opening our lives and reaching out to people who are hurting. And not to be content with our circle of friends that may all be doing fine and well. But even among us, there are hurts and there are challenges. But to realize that, oh, when we go beyond to touch the lives of strangers, as the verse goes on to say, that sometimes unawares, we end up touching angels. Because we begin to peel back what is not of God as they give themselves to Him and find that there's an angel there. Continued, this verse goes on to say in Hebrews 13, continue to remember those in prison as if you yourselves were with them in prison. Oh my, that is an awesome verse, that we remember them as though we ourselves were in prison. And those who are mistreated, we remember them as though we ourselves were suffering. You know, each of you should have had a brochure in your bulletin when you came in this morning. And that is actually the theme verse, and it's in here. The theme verse of our ministry is that Hebrews 13. You know, once you know the way, you don't want anybody to stumble in the darkness. And once you have Christ as your constant companion on this inner way, as well as the challenges outside of you, you don't want anybody else to have to go it alone. And you know, I've had people say, well, I don't know if I could identify with them. Are you a human being? You can identify. Have you been given God's love? Because what's the basic need that any of us have? It's the love of God and the love of each other. It's amazing how God gives us empathy, as though we ourselves were in prison. And it's amazing, too, how He so helps us to love other people that we begin to see this is what God wants to do. He wants to free them like He's freed me. Whether I've been in prison or not, I have been in bondage. All of us have been in bondage, and He wants to free others. It reminds me of the verse that we have right on the very front, Matthew 25:36, and it's Christ speaking, and Christ is behind bars. It says, I was in prison, and you came to me. I remember when I first shared this with the ladies, and we took this brochure, probably half the, at that particular time, it was 8 ladies who were there, because only one cell of ladies can come at a time on Tuesday evening. Half of them were crying. They were saying, what? We were saying, no, we don't bring Christ with us. You don't? Well, you're a pastor. Christ is already here. He loves you so much that He is already working in your life. He is here, and you've been prayed for. He's already here. And you know, it reminds me of, have you ever had somebody really vulnerable in your life, someone that's handicapped or they've had an accident or something and you weren't with them, maybe your child, and you couldn't be there, and somebody else stopped and intervened and called for aid and stood there with them. And when something like that happens and they've loved your child, don't you, in your heart, it's like, oh, lady, let me hug you. Let me say thank you. You want to do whatever you can do because they've touched you when they've touched your child. Now, it's the opposite way, too. If they hurt them, you know, you're ready to defend and say, hey, just a minute here. This is not good. I think it's the same way with God, that he loves his children and those who have not come back to him that he has created, that he loves him. So when we touch them, we're touching him, it says. We visit them, we're visiting him. That's why, to me, ministry is the way you can have the closest connection with God, is because you're reaching out to others. And I love to see that. Our theme and the video that we show quite often, the theme of, you know, it may have been a mess, our mess, but now let's see God's masterpiece. So watch this clip that we show them often, and it's a reminder to all of us the difference that he makes.
I've heard it. You've heard it. It's time for a new beginning. Time to start a fresh page or paint a new picture with our life. Sounds great in theory, but it can seem impossible. Life is messy. The lines have gotten blurred. Maybe we just don't know where to start. We look at the canvas of our lives and see mistake after mistake after mistake. It's overwhelming. When I look at my life with these messy lines and scribbles, it makes me think, is this as good as it gets? There's no eraser that can make this life make sense. But what if? What if there was someone that could make sense of our mess? They could take all our scribbles, all our mistakes, all our missed opportunities, and make them into a masterpiece. And then I remember, there is Jesus. He gives us a new life. Every day is new. Every day is a blank canvas full of possibility and promise. He takes our canvases, our lives that have been filled up with shortcomings, secrets, tragedies, and embarrassments, and he helps them make sense. When I look at the canvas of my life and I see nothing but disorder and chaos, I have to remember this. God is not a God of disorder. He's a God of peace. And you know what? He wants to take my hand and bring peace to the canvas of my life. So as we seek to make our mark, let us give God all our scribbles, all our mistakes, all our hurts, and trust that he will turn our messy lives into a masterpiece. His masterpiece.
Do I have an amen? And in fact, why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, you are a masterpiece in the making. And see, that way none of you had to lie. We're all in the making, aren't we? I want to challenge you. Will you take this brochure home with you and will you read it from cover to cover? There's a lot of content there. But I want you to know it says Jail and Recovery Ministries. You heard it on there. There's so many things in this sinful world that we have to recover from. And it may be a process, even though we've come to know the Lord. And even though our ministry is particularly there and then wanting to follow up, but in our following up, it's a broader picture than those that have simply been released from jail. You know, there is a ministry in mentoring that I think our world needs because we are such a busy people. And as the poet says, this world is too much with us. And so it may be a new convert that says, I would just like someone to be my companion in this new journey of faith. Or it may be someone that's going through a crisis. I mean, crisis hit. And we're usually, when it's a crisis, we've not planned for that to happen. And just during those few months, to have someone that says, hey, unless we already have that built in, but sometimes to have this objective person that's walking with the Lord that just says, I will pray with you particularly during this time. Let's meet and talk about it. Let's be companions on this inner way. There may be times that we need a mentor because of going through transitions. Maybe a new mom. And the ministry that's been emphasized lately for those that are going off to college that need that extra support in their new world. So think as you read this, who maybe could use a ministry such as this? Is there a way I could be involved? We've already offered a life coaching class, but we also will plan to do a mentoring class that's not as in-depth for those that simply just want to feel more comfortable in coming alongside. Although training for those veteran Christians is not necessarily, but it just helps us to move together and to see the need and to address it better. You know, there is no more joy or a greater responsibility than blessing other people's lives and being aware that let me help them on this journey of faith. Tonight, we're going to be talking about this. So I hope you will return to diving deeper to be a part either of the ministry in some way, in giving or in receiving or referring somebody else. We've come across people that said, man, I'm really working on recovering from an addiction. And remember, the definition of addiction is anything that has you rather you have than you having it. It's got you. So that says, I go to one support group and there's really all that I'm aware of is one in town that's offered. I need something else another night of the week. I mean, I need that extra strength. And we'll be starting that this fall, a Celebrate Recovery support group. But meanwhile, we want to be there and plan and project and believe that, you know what? He is the way, the truth, and the life. And when we find that way, what a beautiful joy to not only be able to walk in that way ourselves, but to be able to bring others alongside and help them on to God. Will you stand with me and let's have prayer together? Dear Father, I just want to thank you that in your wisdom and great love that you sent Christ, who lowered himself to where we were so that you could lift us up into the light. Thank you for being to us the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, even as it has been a reality for us, I pray that we will find opportunities to make it a reality for other people that you have given unto us for this purpose. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you that we never have to feel that we do it alone, that you are there is the way, and your people that are in the way are there with us, and we rejoice in that today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.